Father, we thank you for a day that we can talk about and celebrate love, because love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I pray today, Lord, that you will bless us, that you will visit us, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law, and teach us some new things. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, before I start preaching, right here we have this beautiful package here. And this, you want it? Okay. So this, okay, leave it right here for a few minutes. Amen. This package right here, for those of you who are not familiar with it, it's called the Macarius. Hey. Okay. So this right here is called the Macarius Library. Amen. The Macarius Library is a collection of books. It's the top 40 books written by our dear pastor and Bishop Dag. Amen. And I mean, these are excellent books. These books are in high demand everywhere. Lady Pastor Aquile was telling me that a certain pastor, is he a Filipino pastor? Yeah, he's a Filipino pastor who asked her to buy 1,000 of these.
Wow.
Yeah. He did buy it, actually, and is actually asking for another 1,000.
Wow.
She just, yes. I mean,
sometimes
you have to watch how others are behaving with your stuff.
Yeah.
Then you know its value. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that God has really blessed Bishop with a gift of writing. You know, and you shouldn't take it for granted. I dare you, tonight when you go home, try to write for me a summary of the message you heard tonight. Just email it to me. Then you're going to see that writing is a gift. It's a supernatural, well, just leave it right there. I'm going to get to these soon. Amen. It's a supernatural ability. You have to be given the gift by God to be able to communicate with a pen and paper. Amen. And I think that God has blessed Bishop with that grace to be able to communicate more than he even preaches. Much more. There's more information here than the messages you hear on the podcast and so on and so forth. Do you understand? And so I really want to encourage everybody to get a copy of this Macarius Library for yourself. Now, one of the reasons why I believe in this collection is because, see, it's not just writing, but it's also the anointing that comes on a person to write what has been written.
Wow.
So an interaction with what has been written is an interaction with the anointing that inspired it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what happens. That's what anointed writings change people's lives.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why the Bible changes our lives.
Wow.
Because the Bible says holy men of God speak the word of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That is why you find someone that the prison system cannot change. The police cannot change him. He knows what to do or what not to do, but can't stop himself from doing it. He is not law abiding. He doesn't know how to do it. Goes to prison, he comes back, does the same thing, goes back to prison again, and the same thing happens over and over again. But bring such a person into a church environment, and you start to preach to him without handcuffs. You just talk to him, the word of God. And the word of God is able somehow to start a revolution in the person's life and change the person entirely, because inspired writings change lives. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I was saying in the morning that anybody who tries to read through these volumes, and somebody brought an idea during the week that the person said that he thinks these would make a great gift also for teenage children.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think it's a really good idea. There is no young person who reads across this. You know, if you read this, it will change your life so much. I mean, it will make a huge difference between what you're on the way to becoming and what you will actually eventually become. Hallelujah. There are books on leadership, the art of leadership, even how to lead. Do you understand? If you were to read this book, you shouldn't be surprised if they start to consider you for managerial and leadership positions at work. A lot of our pastors have testimonies like that. You know, they said that from reading books about loyalty and so on and so forth, you know, has sort of raised their profile at work. It's just changed, you know, how the people at work look at them. I mean, this is good stuff. It's going to affect you. Amen. Amen. Books affect people. Books change lives. Amen. And so I want to encourage all of us to make sure that we have a copy. We're doing a very special program. Bishop is doing it just for the church and the church members, you know. And he's doing all of this. We're doing this collection for $65. 40 books, number 1 to 40. $65 shipped to your doorstep, right? Now, this is a special thing we're doing, and we have ordered them. The books are being shipped in from overseas, and they're coming in, and they should be ready around Easter, you know. So if you place an order today, you should expect it somewhere around Easter. That's when everything will be here, and we'll have them. But we're taking orders now because, first of all, we'd like to know how many to bring in. But we will decide on a number somehow. And if we do, and your copy falls outside it, then you have to wait for another time. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why it's a good idea to do it now. So today, if you haven't placed your order for a copy, I want you to do that today. Amen? Amen. And God is going to bless you. I believe you should start reading the books, you know, different things, the art of hearing, how to hear from God, how to hear the voice. I mean, if you're a Christian and you cannot hear the voice of God, I mean, you don't have any hope. You're like a dumb, like a child who is deaf. Do you understand? And that's a serious problem. Amen. The art of shepherding, how to be a shepherd, and how to do it. Church planting, steps to the anointing, you know. A book on tithing, why non-tithing Christians become poor and tithing Christians can become rich. All right, and then He That Hath, which is one of my favorite books, you know, because that is the book that explains why people have and why people do not have. Do you understand? You know, when you're around in life for some time, you start to see that many things are not a mystery, you know, that you can track something that you're seeing today and predict very much how it's going to become. Because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Do you understand? Yeah, so it's amazing. And there's the wealth of knowledge that Bishop has put together here. And God bless him for doing something like this and placing it within our reach. Amen. Yeah, and these books, I mean, this package ordinarily cost $160. $160, which is still a bargain because that's about $4 a book, and that's cheap, isn't it? $4 a book. I mean, if you go to any Christian bookstore, you're not going to find many volumes that cost $4. Do you see what I'm saying? So that already is a deal, but it's gone down further. Just for Lighthouse members. If you go online, you're going to see that it's not $65. So don't try to go get it online. All right. Some people are always fond of going behind things. But you go there and you can buy it from there if you want, actually. Okay. But I'll just say that take advantage of this and get your copy today. I promised Elpak that she would give this to someone who takes it today. Who wants this? Was it? Pastor Charles or McDonald? McDonald is from... Okay, McDonald, you can come and have this. God bless you. So you can get yours today. God bless you. Amen. Oh, this is your second one. Oh, wow. Oh, then you should give it to Pastor Charles. Amen. So get it. And it's a great Valentine present. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, I think that this is a great gift to give to someone you love and care about. You know, it's a blessing. Amen. So it's a good thing to give your children spiritual gifts. You get it? Sometimes we buy them video games and all these things You see, that sometimes take their hearts away. Just take their hearts away from you. You see what I'm saying? So expensive video games that cost like $60, $80 and so on for one game. What about an investment into books? Do you understand? Because I don't know yet anyone who became anything just playing games. Do you understand? But I do know that everyone becomes something. Otherwise, in school, they will have only video games instead of books. But it looks like books are more valuable than video games. Do you see what I'm saying? So invest in books. Give them the gift of books. And even if they don't read it, for the record, do you understand? It's important. Everybody also needs to, a father, you need to have things that you have done, not because you even wanted them to respond in a certain way, but just for the record. Do you understand? Yeah. Just so that you are not guilty of not doing it. Yeah. There are some things you do. Like Jesus said, we're going to preach. The gospel must be preached throughout the whole world. Not to convert the whole world, but as a witness. Yeah. Do you understand? Wow. Yeah. Wow. Do you know that when they put a stop sign at the junction, their plan is not that every single person will stop. That's not the plan. The plan, they know that some people will not stop. But when those people do not stop, we are not responsible for the consequences. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because we put a stop sign there. If we don't put a stop sign there, they're going to come after us. And they're going to say that you should have told me that this was wrong and this was wrong and this was wrong. And there are young people, even people who grow up pointing fingers at their parents and saying to them, you should have told me. You should have been a better parent. You should have stopped me. You should have made me go to school. You can't even believe that your child is telling you that you should have made him go to school when he didn't want to go to school. You tried everything. He didn't want to go. And he's still telling you that you're the parent. I'm the child. You should have made me go to school. And you just look at him and you marvel. So there are some things you just do for the record, even if you don't get the result. You buy it, you give it, I made this investment into your life, and it sits there and it speaks against you. One day it will rise up and speak on your behalf. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, so these are investments that you need to make. You just do it. Some things you just do it just for the sake of it. And you've just done your part. You are not guilty. Hallelujah. Just like people, you preach to certain people not because he will change. As you are preaching, you know he won't change. But you just say it. Say it to him. You get it? Just for the record. So that it will be said. Amen. Now, this model marriage book here is the book of the day. It's the book of the day because today is Valentine's Day and we're celebrating love. Isn't it? And we're celebrating especially romantic love. Yeah. That's why not a whole lot is passing from parents to children or children to parents, even though they claim to love each other, nor from brothers to sisters. But a lot is passing from beloveds to beloveds. Rap Sheka is moving around, sending presents. Is that the name, Rap Sheka? Rap Sheki. Yeah, Rap Sheki is moving around, passing presents around, you know, from people who claim to be broke at school. It's too fantastic. Amen. So this is the day we are celebrating this book, and this is an awesome book. Amen. And today when I was looking at the back of it, I was blown away by the volume of research that has gone into putting this book together. From books on obstetrics, books on Christian faith, books on biology, and so many different things. I was just counting. Look at it. It's just tiny writings like that. I counted here. This one alone is 41 different books. Wow. 41 different books. Then you have 41, then you have this also, then you have that also, then you have also this next page. You know, I just want to show you the wisdom in buying a book. All of that, and all of that. And all information from all these books, books that you are likely never to come across or never to read. Because if you take a book on obstetrics, where are you going to start from? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So somebody has been through that book to extract what you need to know, you know, in that book for your daily life, isn't it? And the person has put it all here and combined it into a volume that can be a great blessing to your life. Amen. This also makes a great, great gift. And I want to encourage all of you to make sure that you own one of these. Amen. It'll be a blessing to you, even when you're single or married, even divorced people. This is a great book for them. Amen. You should think about it, that how come somebody should spend all their time to go through all these books and put all this information together. You can just buy that time and effort for $20. Do you understand? That's how to judge the price of a book. You think about what has gone through it, and then think about, oh, because even the paper. What about even just the paper? Do you understand? Yeah, it is quite a bit. So I think that we have to be wiser than that and invest in this book. I think it will be a great blessing to you. Amen. So I decided today that I'm going to preach from this book. Amen. So I've been combing it for different things to preach. I mean, there's an aspect of this book. There is a part of this book that's the back of it. Again, it has questions and answers. It's chapter 60. Okay, the title is Typical Questions of Married Couples and the Answers. You know, because soon after you get married, you realize that you have questions. You see, you have questions that you wish you could ask somebody. Questions about trust, mistrust, about looks. Even there's a question here about somebody has a pot belly. Yeah.
Let's address.
Yeah, if you have a husband who has a pot belly, or his belly is becoming a pot belly, what do you do? Do you understand? There's another question about someone who says, I want my wife to put on some weight. Yeah, he wants his wife to put on some weight, you know, and is wondering, you know. Then there's a question about, he gets angry when he sees me chatting with someone. Yeah. Then there's another one. He says, when he's going out, he does not say where he's going. Yeah. You see, all these things, you don't see them when you see. Do you get it? Another one. He's always reminding me of my past. How do I deal with it? He has a female friend I'm worried about, but he seems not to care about it. Yeah, Leah. Yeah. She keeps suspecting me is another common question. She's, you know, that's another one. Oh, and so many others. Okay, there are questions on communication. You know, she's always quarreling with me, threatens to leave the marriage after. Yeah, you know, she speaks disrespectfully to me when she's angry and corrects me in anger. You know, sometimes the way my wife talks to me is very bad. She talks back anyhow and even raises her voice, you know, in ordinary conversation. Do you notice how in the other place the question was he. He's always talking to somebody. He's always... Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Then... Now we are talking about the way people talk, and it's now she. Wow. Okay. So, I don't know. There are so many wonderful things. She picks up a quarrel with me at dawn. What a shock. Yeah. You should send her to have a quiet time. Okay. Yeah. This is, he doesn't talk to me the way he talks to others. Yeah. Then he ensures that discussions and transactions he holds with others are kept from me. Wow. All right. He doesn't appreciate me to my hearing. Then this guy says, my wife says I don't communicate. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you see someone who talks a lot, like Brother Jacob right here. And he was talking nicely and everything. As soon as you marry him, then he just shuts up. I mean, he has nothing to say. And when you ask him, won't you talk? Then he says, well, I talk when there's something to talk about. Yeah. You ask him a question, he's silent. And then as you keep pushing him, he'll look at you and ask you, you had the whole of your life to think about the question before you ask. You must give me at least 1 hour to think about the answer. Hey, you can't believe this is the same Jacob. Jacob. Yeah. Then there are other complex things that are related to attitudes. Like she lacks initiative and purpose. It's like the person does not, you have to tell her everything. Do you understand? And then she doesn't seem to have a purpose in life. She has no drive, doesn't want to achieve anything. You know, I mean, you don't know that all this is coming. Do you see? She's quick-tempered. Yeah? He counts his pennies too much and talks too much about money. He's selfish. He does not give me enough money. Hey. Should we have a joint account? That's a good question. Should we have a joint account? Yeah. He's so careful with money, he makes life uncomfortable sometimes. Hey. What else is here? Yeah. He's not helpful and has an I don't care attitude. It's like nothing really matters. Which man will see before? Yeah. So what? It's not anything. Then somebody is also very worried about she being forgetful. So she's forgetful. She always forgets everything. Then this one doesn't forget, but she's domineering. Okay. And then this other one also doesn't forget. In fact, she remembers so much and complains too much. Right. Okay, she insists on doing things I've asked her not to do. You see, so these are all realities that start to, you know, come up when you're... Yeah, then there are other spiritual ones. She's not spiritual enough. Then, here is a he. He does not pray like he used to before our marriage. Jacob. Right. He likes to move around with unbeliever friends. And sees nothing wrong with them. Okay. Right. So these are all things that are here. Questions, practical questions. And you know, one of the great blessings in our church is that, you know, if you do something enough times, you learn a lot about that thing. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. Our church and the experience that has gone into writing this book is based on, you know, think about it, thousands and thousands of hours of counseling. Do you understand? When you do it after a while, you know that the questions are the same. And everybody is having just about the same problem. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So there is a wealth of knowledge here, which I pray that you will take advantage of and be blessed by it. Amen. Amen. I pray that you buy one for yourself, buy one for your friend, and it will change your life. It will affect you, and it will bless you. Amen. All right. So today I'm just sharing for a few minutes from chapter 8. Chapter 8 is a chapter about love. All right. Love in marriage. Love in marriage. Right. Now, before you read that, I just want to read this passage from First John chapter 4 and verse 7. First John chapter 4, verse 7 and from verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Okay? "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Did you see that?
Yes.
"Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us." That is, this is how God demonstrated his love towards us. "Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Hearing is love. I mean, this is love. Not that we loved God. Do you see? Because when you love somebody and the person is responding with love, it's a different thing, isn't it? He's saying that not that we loved God, you know, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." In other words, the way we recognize God in people is the love that dwells in them. Isn't it? That's what he's saying. He says, no one has seen God at any time. So if we love one another, then God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. Then it says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him." This is how we know that we are in him and he is in us. Do you understand? Because he has given us a piece of his spirit. Okay, that means he has given us his nature. He has given us. So when you find in yourself an ability to love, it's proof to you that God is living in you. Do you see what I'm saying? On the other hand, when you find yourself unable to love, you can't walk in love, it's proof to you that God is not in you, no matter what you claim to be. Hallelujah. So the way, in fact, the existence of love in a Christian is the validation of his Christianity. That is how you know that God is inside you. Hallelujah. So it says in verse 7, "Let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth," everyone, anyone who is able to love, "is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God." Anybody who cannot walk in love says the person does not know God, because God is love. Amen.
Amen.
So the capacity to love actually comes from God. Amen.
Amen.
And if a person does not know God, they are not able to walk in love. Do you understand? You can practice some of the acts of love, some of the expressions of love, because some of the expressions of love are not taught to be expressions of love as from the Bible. But a lot of people do things because they seem to see that it pleases who they do it for. Do you see what I'm saying? And sometimes it gets them their desired results. Do you get it? I spoke to a lady a few days ago, and somebody had given her some flowers and so on. And she was so grateful that she was getting ready to say thank you with herself.
Hey.
Do you see? Do, yes. No, true. Mm-hmm. You get it. Now, if you're a guy and you see what your flowers can do, do you see what I'm saying? Then what are you going to do? You make a garden. You get it? Yeah. And you become a flower farmer because you know what these things can get you. Do you understand? See, all the questions we see, and it's interesting that the questions have not been put at the front. It's at the back. Do you get it? Because those are later issues. Do you see? All these questions at the back here are questions from people who once thought and genuinely thought that they were in love, isn't it? Or that they were experiencing love from the other person. But then when you start to live together after a while, then you realize that really, if God does not truly live in someone, they are not capable of loving you. Do you understand? That is the reason, and that's the wisdom behind God encouraging us not to be equally yoked together with non-believers, not to marry unbelievers. Because when you marry an unbeliever, you have married someone who is not connected to the source of love. Do you understand? Yeah, you've married someone who is not connected to the source of love. So you start to draw on love from the person, but it's not dipped in love. Do you have a straw? Anybody has a straw here today? You don't have a straw. But picture it. It's like having a straw that is not connected to any juice or is not dipped in any glass that has anything in it. Do you see what I'm saying? So the person is the straw, and you connect with him by like connecting to the straw. You marry the person and you connect with the person. You've put the straw to your mouth. Now you start to suck on the love. That straw doesn't have any love to give you. Any love that the straw has to give you or any juice it has to give you is actually in a certain glass and relies heavily on that person's connection. The straw must stay in the glass to continue to put juice in your mouth. Do you understand? Have you tried before where you're sucking and drinking your juice or something, and then there's a point where the straw is missing the juice? Isn't it? Yeah. And so the thing has disconnected at some point, and then you start to feel it in your mouth. So sometimes what you're feeling from your spouse or your lover is not because of anything other than the fact that he or she is actually disconnected from the source of love. Because the Bible says that anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is the source of love. Can I have an amen? So our capacity to love is heavily dependent on our relationship with God. So the starting point of all love is knowing God. And when you're connecting with people, especially if you're single and choosing a beloved and so on, you have to be sure that that person has a true and genuine relationship with God. Do you understand? Because when it's not real and genuine, when it's being done because of you, or it's being done because you've made it a condition, do you get it? Because sometimes a lady can tell a guy, you know, I can't marry you because you don't go to church. Oh, really? Let's go to church. Do you understand? Actually, I heard the story of one guy who followed a lady to church, and then she just kept asking him, when is he going to make the altar call? Because the lady had made it a condition that you need to come with me to church and then you have to accept Christ. And the guy asked, how do you accept Christ? She says, when we go to church, there is a part of the service where the pastor is going to say, those who want to accept Christ should raise their hands and come forward. That's the part. So when the guy was in the service, he just kept asking, when is he going to make that invitation? It's like, I'm so ready to marry you, and you say that the condition is to give my life to Christ. Easy. Let's go to the church, and I'll give my life to Christ. Oh, I'll give it over and over again. See, one of the questions we read, somebody was saying that he does not pray anymore like he used to pray. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And sometimes it happens because the person is not genuinely after God on his own. He's after you, and you have made going after God a condition to getting you. So he starts to try to go after God and to go after God just enough to get you. And when he has you, then there's no reason anymore to go after God, because he has what he wants. Are you following what I'm saying? So we need to be sure that the people that we relate with have a genuine relationship with God that has nothing to do with you. Amen. Amen. And that's why often the best way to know it is you don't supervise it. You are not the one who tells, you're not the one who confirms their relationship with God. Because your eyes are already filled with love and other things. You can never even tell the truth. You even what you see or what is very glaring to you, you call it something else. Do you see? Because there's too much love in your eyes. Do you understand? But a third party who has nothing to do with it, who's just observing, who is able to make an objective observation about what is going on, would be in a good position to advise you and to help you know that what you're seeing is not what it really is and that you should look more closely. What do you think? Is it a good idea?
Yeah.
Right. So we need solid relationships with God if we are going to walk in love. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Bible talks about love, love, love. But here, there are three types of love that must be practiced when people get together in a marital type of situation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of them is the agape love. The first one is what we call the agape love. Amen. The agape love is known as the God kind of love, you know, and has many different characteristics. The Bible talks about it many times. It says, God commendeth, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. When someone is walking in God's kind of love, it says God demonstrates his love. God commendeth his love means God shows forth or demonstrates his love towards us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still very bad, Christ died for us. So when someone is walking in agape love, their response to you is not determined by the evil that you are doing. Do you see what I'm saying? So you can see right here that Christ is going, you know, all the way and doing his best for us for our worst behavior. Do you see the love? Yeah. That this kind of love is the God kind of love. He says, while we were yet sinners, when we have not even finished sinning, you know, when we have not even changed, Christ is dying for us. Is it not amazing?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ was on the cross while the process of crucifixion was still going on. And then he's praying while they haven't finished killing him. He's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's starting already to sort of walk towards forgiveness when the people are still in the process of doing what they are doing. That's a very high kind of love. Is it not?
Yeah.
To love someone who is still frustrating you. To love someone who is still doing what you don't like. To love someone who is still hurting you and who is still causing you pain. Who is still continuing to cause you pain, and to be able to look at him and make an excuse beyond what he's doing and to say that, Father, forgive him because I don't think he really knows the implications of what he's doing. That's agape love. Do you understand? Now, this is the kind of love that must be at the foundation of any type of romantic relationship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Unfortunately, most romantic relationships don't have this for a foundation. They have something else for a foundation. For a lot of it has lust, you know, for a foundation. You know, I like the way you do your hair. I like the way your hips look. I like the way your chest looks. I like your size. What is it called? Body wax. Body wax. I like your body wax. Is that the way to say it? That's Brother Jacob right here. This is that spiritual brother who was same guy. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Yeah? Right? So it's an amazing kind of love, and that kind of love must be at the foundation of every relationship. Some people think that we can just make it without this, but it won't be long before you realize that the romantic love alone cannot sustain a marriage, especially. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's important for us to have and practice this agape kind of love. Hallelujah. There are other scriptures. Let me just read them real quick to you. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him. It knew him not. All right. Then another one, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So look at it. It says the same kind of love. That's Ephesians 5:25. It says the same kind of love which Christ gave to the church is the kind of love that a husband must have for his wife. Do you follow what I'm saying? So you see that the Christian sister is saying that, look, anytime the brother wants to share or something like that, when he wants to be romantic, then he's sharing his quiet time. you see, and that's to, and I know a lot of single Christian sisters don't like brothers who are like that. They don't like brothers who are very spiritual, brothers who like to quote the Bible all the time. They want a brother who's been listening to Lionel Richie all day and just speaking the words from Lionel Richie and just quoting such words. And because it's like the way I'm feeling, it's not an Isaiah time or an Ezekiel time, you know. And if you throw in Obadiah, then you're going to mess the whole flow. Yeah, some Celine Dion, you get something like that, some Celine Dion type of thing, you know. Come, he turned my morning into dancing again. Hey, please cool it. Wow. Do you see? So people don't like. So it's as though romantic love cannot be spiritual. Did you get, or a spiritual person is not capable of offering that. But what I'm saying is that you probably don't understand that your romantic love needs to sit on a foundation of agape love. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Because without it, your romantic love on its own is not going to go far at all. And that is why we see all the turmoil in the world. That's why we see people claiming to love people and still killing them. Yeah, getting to a point where they hate them so much, they actually kill them. You know, recently one of our church members in a different country, you know, and she had traveled to go to her country, you know, and to her surprise, I don't know if she took a cab or something, but her husband, back where she was living, had paid some people back there where she was going to kill her. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, you saw it in the news? You saw it in the news? Yeah. It's a white church member. Yeah. Do you see? And the husband had paid some people to kill her, and then the people got her, kidnapped her, and when they were supposed to kill her, somehow they decided to be kind to her. And they told her that, listen, your husband, back where you are, he paid us to do this to you. Yeah, he paid us to kill you, you know. And then the people told her, we are going to let you go, but you should get out of the country immediately, because we are letting you go, but he might pay somebody else who may not let you go. You know, yeah. So the lady, you know, I think a few days after, just left the country. And when she went back home to where she lives now, she got to the country. I think she called her pastor. She called her pastor first of all and said, pastor, this is what I heard. This is what's going on. And then the pastor helped her to come back to her home where she lives. And she said when she was approaching the house, they were having like a funeral type thing. Yeah, you know. And people were coming out of the house and leaving the house and, you know, talking about, you know, it's like condolences to the husband and a lot of people. And so she sat outside somewhere until everybody was gone, you know, and the husband came outside to sit in the front there. And then she walked in there. You can imagine. You can imagine how shocked he was. Yeah. And she left him with no sign at all. Do you understand? You see, you shouldn't underestimate what is in the heart of an unbeliever. An unbeliever is capable of anything. You see, an unbeliever can do anything because it really depends on what inspiration comes into his heart. An unbeliever is like a knife lying on the kitchen table. It can be there all day and not cut anybody. But you shouldn't be deceived by that. If it gets in the hands of the wrong person, you'll be surprised what that knife can do to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when someone is and all of us were like that. All of us, that's why when you see an unbeliever, when you see another person, you shouldn't feel like you're better than the person. Because you're actually capable of doing anything, any unbeliever. It's just that some demon or some evil spirit did not inspire your heart. But your heart is vacant and open to be able to do anything as an unbeliever. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we need to really be careful. That is why Christ wants, it says, husbands must love their wives even as Christ also loved the church. Do you see what I'm saying? So you can see that even loving your wife, I mean being romantically involved with your wife and loving her, involves also knowing Christ. Isn't it? It says, even as Christ also loved the church. So you need, first of all, to have Christ, to know him, to know how he loves the church. Do you understand? It also means you need to be a church person in order to know how it feels to be loved by Christ. What do you think? Yeah. So this agape love has to be at the foundation of any kind of attempt to walk in love. Amen.
Amen.
People who don't have, who have not grown or matured or developed in agape love usually don't do too well at the other two kinds of love. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because you will see very soon they end the relationship. Very soon something. Yeah, I think you saw Jacob and What happened? Why did they break up? Okay, and she couldn't handle that Jacob always. And she also had a present that Rav Sheka brought, and Jacob could not handle that. You see, what helps you handle this type of thing is not the romantic love. It's the agape love that builds character in you. That is what helps you to be able to deal with a present that somebody has. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't handle Rabshakeh's moves if you don't have a solid agape foundation.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Right? Now, what are the characteristics of this love? The characteristics of... Oh, our time is up already. All right. The characteristics of the agape love is that it loves people in spite of. Isn't it? Remember the verse we read? It says, Christ loved us even though we were still sinners. So when someone is rich in agape love, that person is able to love people in spite of something. Hallelujah. Soon after you falling in love with someone, you're going to discover that there are a whole lot of things. Amen. After you have settled with someone, you're going to realize that this thing is a little different from what I thought it was. Do you see what I'm saying? But agape love is able to continue in spite of.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Especially in a marital situation, isn't it? It is a willingness to accept the other person for who he is without expecting a change into the ideal spouse. In shape, in form, in size, in intellect. This means that even if your wife or your spouse never changes, reduces or increases in size or becomes better at any other area, you are still prepared to walk in love. Amen. Right. The other characteristic is that it is unconditional. Do you understand? So it's not like I will love her if she submits to me. Isn't it? Christ still loves all of us, even though a lot of us are still disobedient. Isn't it? Yeah, we are still disobedient. We still don't read our Bibles. We still don't pray. We have all sorts of arguments about things that are clearly written in the Bible and so on. But Christ still loves us. Hallelujah. So it's not a conditional kind of love. Amen. Then it's also a love that is it's practiced with decisiveness. Do you get it? It's a decision. You have to decide, I'm going to love this person. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. So it's a conscious decision, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then another one, it is also sacrificial. It's a love that goes the extra mile to give time, attention, gifts, and so on, and even to do favors. Do you see what I'm saying? To do favors for the person. It's agape. It's a type of love. Amen.
Amen.
What do you think? Is it a good type of love?
Yeah.
Then it says, this type of love also covers a multitude of sins and does not refer to a person's past sins and mistakes. Isn't it? Because when you live with someone, you're going to live with someone for a long time, and over a period of time, you're going to have a long record of things. Do you understand? Yeah. Now, you have to either choose, you have to choose to either walk in forgiveness or ask God for very bad memory. So which one do you want? Forgiveness. Yeah. Because if you have bad memory, it will cost you in other areas as well, isn't it? So it's better to learn how to forgive. Which means that you remember everything vividly, but they are grayed out. Do you see? Do you see how sometimes you can go to a website and you can see what is written, but you can't click on it? Yeah, because it's not life. It's grayed out. Do you understand? So it's not that you don't remember that something happened. The thing is there, you can remember. Even there are things in the house that remind you of what happened. Do you get it? But it's just that they are grayed out. And so even if you run your mouse over it, it doesn't come alive. Do you see what I'm saying? You try to click it, you click, but you see the life in it is not there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is how it is to have agape love. So may God give us strength to walk in agape love. Amen. It says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth a multitude of sins. Okay. So it's all there. When you get the book, you can read it. I need to jump on to the next one. Number two type of love is filial. It's called the filial type of love. That's the word out of which we get the name of the city, Philadelphia, which is basically a city of love, isn't it? Is there any love in Philadelphia at all? Yeah. You have the police in the streets all the time. I don't know if there's any love in the place. But anyway, it's called Philadelphia. It's supposed to be a city where if you go there, you will be loved. Amen. Right. So this has to do with brotherly love, right? And here, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Amen. That means brotherly love must continue. We need to have brotherly love also between people who are romantically involved with each other. Amen. There's a point at which you relate with someone you're in love with, like the person is your brother, isn't it? Or like your sister, isn't it? So this kind of love is the love that exists between siblings, isn't it? Yeah, it has nothing to do with anything erotic or anything like that. It's just, I like you as a person. I'm connected to you and I care about you. Do you understand? Right? So here, it has to do with friendship and respect that must be present when two people are romantically involved with each other, isn't it? Yeah. That means you must be able to chat with each other, play with each other, isn't it? Tease each other, isn't it? Quarrel with each other and reconcile with you. Because one of the key features of sibling life is quarrels. Do you guys quarrel with each other? Okay, do you fight with each other? Remember, your mom is sitting right next door. She feels like putting a cross on your head. Jesus must forgive your sins. Amen. But that's what happens. But you see that when brothers and sisters get into a fight, they quarrel and so on, they still come back together. Isn't it? Yeah. See, when you are not realistic and practical and immature, you think that because you are romantically involved with someone, there will be no such thing as quarreling. Do you understand? One day somebody, I asked someone, how do you know this is the person you want to marry? Oh, he says, I don't know. I don't, because she's never annoyed me before. I said, that's the reason why you shouldn't marry this person. Because this whole thing is not real. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Do you understand? Yeah, that's, oh, we get along so well. That's what you hear all the time. We get along so well. We get along so well. Until they get married and then they can't get along. Hallelujah. Right? So there has to be that also. You know, there has to be. You have to practice the art of falling out and falling back in. Love, isn't it? You have to know how to, you know, feel like not seeing each other. Yeah. You don't feel like seeing each other. Yeah. And you don't feel like seeing each other means you don't feel like seeing each other. You don't call each other. You don't send any text. They send you text. You don't reply. You won't respond. You're just like that. Then you have to practice the art of coming from like that. Gradually loosen up. You know. And smile again. And laugh again with the same person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you need a foundation of agape love to be able to do that. Because for that to happen, for you to talk again with someone that you decided never to talk to again, you have to practice forgiveness. You have to say it doesn't matter. You have to activate, you know, your ability to love somebody unconditionally and to make it not an issue anymore. You see, so again, the agape comes from the bottom to come and rescue the situation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you need that. Hallelujah. Right? So friendship, talking, sharing your interests, being supportive of one another, and then being able to defend each other. Amen. Then that brings us to the third kind of love. And the third one is the commonest one that everybody says, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. You, nobody even needs to tell you what to do. You get it? You just know what to do with that one. Hallelujah. Right. And that must also be present in a marriage. So you ask me, is it important to marry someone that is I'm attracted to? Yes, it's important. The person must look nice to you, and the person, you must be attracted to the person in a way that is different from the way you relate with your sister. What do you think? Yeah, in a way that is different from the way you relate with your sister. You must feel something. Do you get it? Bumbulungwins is the word. You know, how do you spell that? B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-U. Right. Yeah. There has to be some feelings. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Butterflies in your belly, in your chest, moving to the right, moving to the left sometimes. You know, when you see the person, something comes over you. Do you see what I'm saying? But you should just not be deceived into thinking that that alone can make this whole thing happen. Otherwise, you're thinking like an unbeliever. Do you get it? Because for an unbeliever, when it's finished, it's finished. When the butterflies stop flying, I'm out of here. It means they are dead. Why am I still alive with you? I'm also gone. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So we must be careful. Amen. Now, when you have marriage and there's no agape, that means there's just friendship and romance. Without agape, it doesn't work, isn't it? When you have it also without failure, which is just, there's just agape love, but there's no brotherliness, and there's just romance. You know, sometimes you hear some people complaining. They say that, look, my husband, you can't even play with him. You can't talk to him. So every time, you know, he's either working on the computer or he's just doing this and that. And then at night when I'm asleep, then he's just, So it's just from agape straight to the other one. That's how the whole thing is working. It's abnormal. And then the one that is just eros only, no agape. That's what that one. That's unbeliever boyfriend. It's called boyfriend girlfriend. It's just so just sex. That's it. Yeah, you can't have sex anymore. What is your use? Get out of here. Just go. Let's find somebody else. What's the name of the other girl? Leah. Leah is there. Yeah. You know. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in a nutshell, this is one of the chapters. Isn't that wonderful? I think that is very, very interesting. And it's in there. And I think that's going to bless you. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Father, we thank you for today and thank you for your blessing upon us. Thank you for a day of love. Love is a beautiful thing when we practice it right. When we start by walking in love with you and falling in love with you. If we can fall in love with you, we know that we can fall in love with anyone. Because no one has seen God. If we can fall in love with God we cannot see, we can love anybody we can see. I pray, Lord, that agape will be birthed in our spirits. I pray that your love will be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Please teach us to walk in love. Please teach us to practice love. I pray for single people, Lord, that you teach them the essence and the importance of the single life, the privilege and the opportunity it offers to practice and to be well-versed in the art of loving. Loving for nothing. Loving and getting nothing back. In preparation for the kind of love that people practice when they're married. I pray, Lord, that you bless all single people with wisdom. Open their eyes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Teach them to love you first. Fill their hearts with the love of God. I pray for married people tonight also, Lord, that you will fill our hearts again with the love of God. Because, Lord, we know that we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it. We cannot rely on our flesh. Because the flesh changes. We cannot rely on people's looks. We cannot rely on how they sound. Because people change as they grow. Only one thing can continue to remain, which is the agape love that we love and we have for them, which is not conditional on how they look, is not conditional on how they sound or who they have become through the years, but which flows from you into our hearts and which we just pass on because we are still connected to you. I pray that as many whose straws have been removed or have disconnected from the juice of God's love shall be reconnected back to it in the name of Jesus. May we, O God, be a source of love. When our spouses expect love from us, may they not be disappointed. May we not become wicked people to them. May we not become like unbelievers to people that have put their trust in us. People who have said bye-bye to their mother and father. People who have said bye-bye to their brothers and sisters. And have made a commitment to be with us. We pray that they will not be disappointed. In the name of Jesus, make us a true instrument. Each of us who is married here tonight, make us true instruments for our spouses to experience genuine love, the genuine love of God. May we feel and see God loving us through them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Amen. Say with me this prayer before you leave. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for your love, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Say, Jesus, please come into my heart. Fill it with your love. Forgive my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Forgive my shortcomings. The many, many times that I have failed to represent you well. Oh Jesus, forgive me. Help me to walk in true love. Help me to walk in genuine love. Help me to be a true lover. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. The rest of this year, I'm trusting you to walk in great love towards all who look up to me for love. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, and everybody says amen.